fly from Tigerland. In any weather you will see us with a grin, risking head and skin. If we're behind, then never mind, we'll fight and fight and win. For we're from Tigerland. We never weaken till the final siren's gone.
All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Behind Frenemy Lines, where we get an opposition supporter on each week to preview the big upcoming game. And this week, we've obviously got the GWS Giants, and I'm welcoming tonight Ragnar from the Never Surrender podcast. Ragnar, how are you, mate? Thank you for jumping on.
Good, man. Yeah, no worries. No worries. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so that's why I was a little bit late, because I was just putting the final touch on the intro. It's been a long time, mate, in the making, but before we get kick-started, your fellow co-host did throw you under the bus and suggest that you were a former Richmond supporter, which you did confirm. How did the transition from Richmond to GWS come about? What's the backstory there?
Oh, it's a bit of a long story. Look, I was a long-time Tigers man. I'm from South Oz originally, but my mum's originally from Melbourne. But I'm from country South Oz, so my mum's side of the family's from Melbourne, and we'd spend more time at the MCG than we did going to footy in Adelaide. So I got to see a lot of Richmond games early on in the 90s, I guess. And then I just had enough. I think it was about, when would it have been? About 2014, I think it was. And Richmond were playing against Melbourne, and Richmond had just lost. Oh, I forget who it was. I think it was Jack Dyer or someone passed. And I thought, if we lose this, I'm done. And we lost, and that was it. And sort of at the same time, we had Kevin Sheedy come and visit our local club, and I was playing footy where I was playing footy at the time, and he was on board with the Giants. And I also had a mate who joined the Giants in the fitness and conditioning staff. So it sort of aligned that way. And I was like, all right, they're down the bottom of the ladder. I'm not jumping on a bandwagon. They've got no supporters. Let's go for it.
No, that's fair enough. So that Tom Hafey game, that was diabolical.
Yeah, and it just so happens, like, to 2017, I was at the MCG when Richmond beat us in the prelim. 2019, I was at the grand final when we got flogged. So it hasn't been pretty since, but, yeah.
No, it's actually, I thought the Giants would have jagged one by now. Like, if we sort of compared the two expansion teams between yourself and Gold Coast, I feel like the GWS done it 10 times better than what Gold Coast did, with the way the list profile was built, the people you had in place, your ability to retain. I know you lost a few players along the journey, but you still kept a pretty good list together. Do you still feel you're thereabouts?
Yeah, we are. I mean, you need everything to go your way to win the flag, especially your first one. Like, You probably would have felt that in 2017. Like, you had a lot of things go your way. You were very very healthy pretty much the whole year, especially in the finals campaign. And I mean, it's a big advantage playing the grand final at the MCG at your home ground, and interstate teams having to travel and play at the MCG. And I mean, good on you. Part of me was happy for Richmond to get the monkey off the back and win those couple of flags or three flags. But the Giants had a chance last year, blew two big chances in the finals, and you just need things to go your way.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely at the pointy end of the year most years, even that really close one against Collingwood that you had where it was pouring rain. I'm sure there's a few structural things they might have done a bit different if they had their time again, but this week is a game I'm genuinely scared of, because on paper, your list, not even just on paper, in actuality, your team's actually really, really just humming. You're coming off a pretty nice win against the Blues. And the win against the Lions win as well, was it the Lions you beat? Oh, Geelong. The Geelong game you won down there, Geelong. I think was a really good win as well. Almost I don't want to say season defining, but I think you were probably a little bit up and down a little bit before then, and that was a really good game to get back on track. How are you feeling with those wins under your belt and after winning two of your last five?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Giants are petitioning the AFL to play home games in Geelong. Like, our record down in Geelong is amazing. I think we've won our last four games or five games in Geelong. I don't think too many teams can boast about having that record. I don't know what it is about the ground. Like, I think it might be the skinny ground because we play well in Norwood as well. Like, we've played the last two gather rounds in Norwood and we play well there as well. So, I mean, the Giants play everywhere. No ground or away fixture sort of scares us.
I mean, I think as an interstate club, I suppose the mentality is just always got to be there, anyone, anywhere, anytime. And I think for you to show the ability to win on the road is definitely a step in the right direction to still being there at the pointy end of the year. It's been a bit hard, I reckon, this year to get a read into GWS's form line because you have dropped a couple of games at home. Like, I look back at the Sydney one, and I suppose if we consider Sydney's form in totality, it was probably a bit of a shock loss. But then you win, you know, down in Geelong and things like that. How have you seen the form line so far? And I guess how has your season panned out expectation wise versus what you were probably thinking pre-season?
Well, I've got a bit of a segment that I do on our podcast called Ragnar's Maths. I like numbers, and I've looked back at the last 2 years or last 3 years essentially. So Kingsley took over at the start of 2023. And I'll run you through it. So in May, we struggle in May. In 2023, we went 1-3 losses. In 2024, in May, we went 1-3 losses. And so happens this weekend is the last day of May, the 31st of May, and we're currently 1-2 losses. So, I mean, what's that saying about this week's game? If history repeats, we're gonna lose this game, but typically, we do really well in winter. So June through the end of August, in 2023 we went 9-3, and in 2024 we went 8-4. So
that's extraordinary.
I don't know whether
it's
just who we play. Whether it's just who we play. I mean, I think we've played 9 different grounds in the first 11 rounds so far. I mean, that's just to do with the Easter show being in Sydney or whether it's the conditioning staff putting us through certain programs. I mean, we've got a few injuries at the moment, but I think we Kingsley tries to build us to be humming towards the end of the season. So
it does sound like a training load thing, doesn't it? Like, just might be doing a bit more extra training for this time of year, like you said, to be running on top of the ground later in the year. Before we look at the team, speaking of Kingsley, how have you found him since coming to the club? Obviously, he was a probable candidate to take over when Hardwick was eventually going to leave, had it not panned out the way it did. I think he's been really good for you guys, and I think he's got your team in a really, really nice spot on the back of obviously Leon Cameron doing some good work as well.
Yeah, I think Kingsley's the perfect, like, modern day coach. He can still be really hard on the players, and I mean, you don't really get to see that from the outside looking in. But a few little things that players have suggested, he can tear shreds as well, which you need that. But obviously, his relationship with the players and the way he speaks and conducts himself. I think he's first class, and I was a bit skeptical when we first appointed him because I didn't know whether we were going to go for a first time coach or whether we're going to go for an experienced coach. And I'm really happy with the appointment of Kingsley.
Yeah, I think he's fantastic. You've got an absolute winner there. Well, the team's coming out tonight, which is why we try and do these on a Thursday night, depending on when the games are, so we get a bit more accurate information. But for the Giants, Josh Kelly coming back in, that's a huge in. And Toby McMullen and going out, Jacob Wehr and Harry Roston. And for Richmond, Dion Prestia surprisingly, if I'm being honest, makes his way back in. He played about a half a football across four quarters. Tom Lynch back from concussion, Nank back from being a bit sore, and Tyler Sonzi in the side after back-to-back 37 disposal games in the VFL. And we're going to be missing Thompson Dow, Sam Lawler, Samson Ryan, and Morris Rioli Jr. But to your ins, what are you making of the inclusions for your team, and are you pretty happy about that? I mean, Josh Kelly, I think, is a star, so I think you would have him in every day of the week, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Kelly's pretty big in, especially missing Callahan at the moment. Like, he's going to slot straight into that Callahan position and team up with Tom Green in the centre. Kelly had a slow start to the year. I think he was actually playing with an injury, and then they put him on ice and got his body right. So fingers crossed he's ready to go. And Toby McMullen, like, he's only a really young player. What is he? He's only played 23 games, so he's still at the start of his career. To be honest, I haven't seen a lot that suggests he's going to be an A-grade midfielder, because they're sort of putting him through the midfield quite a bit. But I can see him as a solid role player, especially for the next couple of years, and then to what extent he progresses from there, who knows? So, and then the outs. Yeah, a couple of younger fellas. I think Jacob Ware, he's always been a sort of a fringe player. And who was the other one? Oh, Harry Rowson. Oh, Harry Rowson only played 8 minutes coming on as the sub late in the game. So, yeah.
Your forward line is what... Well, actually, there's a lot of parts of your team that scare me, but the forward line, Jesse Hogan and Riccardi looked like they hit a bit of form last week, and even Toby Green got on the scoreboard as well. But I think Hogan had 4 and Riccardi had 3 goals respectively. How important are those big forwards to the way you play? And I think the Giants need to be commended on what they've got out of Jesse Hogan. I don't know whether many people saw that potential being unlocked at any point in time in his career, but he's bloody hard to stop.
Yeah. Well, we call him Jesse Coleman on our podcast. And
I like it.
I mean, the way he's kicking goals... The way he's kicking goals at the moment, he's kicking at 69.8% accuracy, which is pretty much Matty Lloyd back in his heyday accuracy. And he doesn't take a lot of long shots. He marks the ball a lot between 20 and 40 metres out. He's been huge. From what I understand, he barely trains. He stays off his legs and stays off his feet a lot because he's had a lot of foot issues. He does a lot of swimming, so he does a lot of off time down at the beach. But what he's brought to our team has been huge, especially losing Jeremy Cameron. We probably would have never picked up Jesse Coleman without losing Jeremy Cameron. So yeah, he's been huge, and the accuracy can't be understated. Like we won last week, I think, just because we kicked straight. And looking at the game last year, we played against you guys. You guys actually had more scoring shots than us, and we kicked 17 goals, 6, and you guys kicked 12 goals, 12. So you had one more scoring shot than us, but we just kicked straight. So I see this game as being a lot closer than what a lot of other people think it will be.
Yeah, and the accuracy is a good point. It's the age-old saying that bad kicking is bad football. And, yeah, whoever's more accurate on the day tends to win. But I guess with our wins, we've brought back in about 620 games of experience just between Prestia, Lynch and Nankervis, which is a huge help. And while I'm obviously a very, very big fan of seeing the young kids play, I think at some point you've got to try and find that balance and be able to support them with the older players. Nank will come in and do a good job, but... In the forward line in particular, I'm actually surprised we didn't put in a McKelty Lefau or a Jacob Blight. I just think we're a little bit exposed with our key forwards. Sam Taylor is arguably one of the best defenders in the competition, and he'll probably go to Lynch, I'm guessing. But I then just worry that Sims is our next tallest forward. I just think with how raw he is, your defenders are going to be too well equipped and too experienced that I think they're going to just be able to peel off him and shut Lynch down. And I just felt we could have maybe picked someone else a bit more experienced to help him out.
Yeah, It could go that way, definitely. But I also see it that we might be too tall in our back line. Like we've got Sammy Taylor and Jack Buckley, and then we've got Lekalier, who came in for his first game of the year last week. And then we've got Harry Himmelberg playing on a wing. And you guys have a lot of smalls kind of similar to your 2017 grand final team. I think we can be exposed there. I'm not sure what the weather's going to be like, but there's been a bit of rain floating around New South Wales, as you might have seen. And so if it's a little bit slippery, you might be able to expose us in that area. So, we could dominate the air in our back line, or if the ball hits the ground, you could be off.
I guess one of our biggest problems has been our delivery inside 50 has been pretty shit ass all year. We tend to persist with bombing it in long and high, just on top of Lynch's head. And if we do that, and if the weather's just semi-reasonable, someone like Himmelberg or Taylor or Buckley or even Aaliyah, they're going to have an absolute field day chopping that off. We just can't get into the rhythm of lowering our eyes properly just yet. But yeah, to your point, if it is a little bit wet and it rains, it sort of, in a lot of ways, evens the game up for us a little bit in some parts of the ground. But the midfield being obviously the other most important part of the ground, your midfield bat's fairly deep. You obviously just chuck Josh Kelly back in there. You got Callan Ward, Tom Green, who does amazing work. Toby Bedford, who's going to be an absolute pain in the ass to Tim Taranto, I'm guessing. You've just got so much coverage. You haven't even got Finn Callan in there, who's out injured. Like, your midfield's crazy.
Yeah, and we're also missing Brent Daniels and Stephen Cornelio, two pretty big outs at the moment. Especially Brent Daniels, he's a bit of a barometer for the Giants. Darcy Jones has sort of taken on his role a little bit, and he's thriving in that position across half forward and pinch hitting in the middle. But our midfield, it looks great on paper, but we get smacked most weeks. Honestly. We get Kieran Briggs has been in pretty horrible form in the ruck, and our mids are getting owned most weeks, and we really rely on efficiency in our forward line and winning the ball across the half back line. So yeah, if you can get on top in the midfield, you could start putting our backs under a fair bit of pressure.
The problem is our mids are not great ball users, and I just find they're a little bit slow. Like, even though we might win our fair share of clearances, especially with Prestia back in, it's often the quality of the clearance that's a little bit left to be desired that doesn't really help us out. Whereas I worry that Josh Kelly's got some good pace. Green's just a powerful unit and can explode away from stoppages. So I just still worry that our midfield mix isn't right and you might be able to get away from us. And not to mention, obviously, a lot of your players will know Taranto and Hopper very well and what their game's all about too, which would be an interesting little clash between itself.
Yeah, for sure. And Tom Green's going to be really up for it, like playing against Taranto and Hopper, who we took the spots of, I suppose, before we traded them both. They were great players for the Giants, and they're sort of the mid-tier player that we're kind of missing at the moment, like that middle-age bracket. We've got a lot of top-end talent, 30-year-olds, and then we've got a lot of young kids, really, down the bottom, not quite as young as the Tigers, but that middle tier of player that we have to keep trading out to. A lot of the time, they're first round picks that leave because they want opportunity playing elsewhere. I agree. Tom Green is a legend, skadoosh. But and to your ball user comment, it's kind of a little bit of a result of the Leon Cameron game style that Jacob Hopper and Tim Taranto are still using. Like, they're still bombing it long into the forward line, and the Giants still do that a little bit, but we've gone away from that a lot recently.
I suppose that if you're doing it, you've got Hogan down there, you've got Cadman down there. I know Stringer's out injured, but Toby Green plays a little bit taller than what he's as well. So you've actually got the setup to be equipped for it. Was with Tom Tom Lynch being one out a lot of the time with the young fellas still not up to scratch just yet. Yeah, we get caught out a little bit, but we'll take a look at some of the key matchups. The first one, I always enjoy a big ruck battle, and Briggs is, I know you might have said he's a little bit out of form, but I reckon him and Naki will have just a genuine, dirty, competitive battle. Not dirty with doing nasty things, but they're just going to be at it all day. And it's always interesting to see how the ruck contest goes. How do you see it playing out between these two?
Yeah, very similar players. I see Nan Curvis as pretty much identical as a Shane Mumford back in the day. Like he's a little bit clumsy in the way that he falls into people with the elbows and the knees, and that's exactly how Shane Mumford used to operate. I'd love to see a little bit more of that with Kieran Briggs to help our midfielders out. Neither ruckman do a lot around the ground in terms of chains and possession, but it's just a crash and bash and a tackle fest really with those two, isn't it?
Yeah, they'll just be throwing their weight around. It could be a battle of who can get the most tackles out of the ruckman. It definitely helps when your rucks can do that at ground level, though. But yeah, it would be nice if they could maybe get a bit more involved around the ground, although sometimes you don't want your ruckman kicking the ball. The next matchup, it's not a great photo of Taylor, it must be said, but Tom Lynch versus Taylor. They're no doubt they're very familiar to one another, but this will be a pivotal matchup, especially for us, because if Lynch can't at least halve contest or win his fair share, he might need to mark two or three inside 50 and convert those goals, which he has had a few yips in front of goals recently, which isn't good. But I see this as a really pivotal one for our ability to be able to try and keep ourselves in the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Jack Buckley actually goes to Tom Lynch. Jack Buckley sort of takes the bigger key forwards, I've found, and that allows Sam Taylor to play off his opponent a lot more and can intercept the ball in the air. And I wouldn't even mind seeing Lekalier go to Tom Lynch. He's a good size and he's very athletic, Lekalier, and I mean, I know a lot of Victorian clubs are trying to chase his signature for next year because he's out of contract. But I think it would be a great opportunity for Lekalier to show what he can do as a one-on-one defender.
Well, that's even worse if Taylor's able to play free and come across an intercept mark. That will spell plenty of trouble for us. Down the other end of the ground, Miller versus Hogan. Like I said, Hogan, one of the best forwards going around, dead eye, shot at goal. And with no Noel Bolter, because he'll have to fly. I think Noel's going to play the VFL game, then have to fly home. But so we've got Miller and Campbell Gray, who'll be in his third game. So Miller, by default, is probably going to get Jesse Hogan. And Miller doesn't tend to lose a lot of one-on-one contests, but I fear that Jesse Hogan, if he can get himself isolated, might be a bit too strong for him. And if we don't team defend and stop your midfield from generating clean entries, I get worried that Hogan could get on the end of quite a few.
Yeah, Jesse, I mean, no matter who Jesse plays on, he's tough to stop, especially with the form he's been in the last couple of years. Just probably the best contested mark in the game. It's going to be a bit of a handful for Ben Miller, but will he be the guy that the Tigers play on Hogan, you reckon?
Well, the other option's Campbell Gray, and he's in his third game. I mean, he might get a shot on him at some stage just because the defenders might rotate around or whatever, but Campbell Gray hasn't looked too out of place. It's just obviously the experience levels is vastly different. I'd probably feel a bit more comfortable with Campbell Gray on a Cadman, who's obviously a little bit younger himself, albeit still a very promising and good player, but it might fit him a little more. I wouldn't say this is why I also thought that Jacob Blight might have been a sneaky chance to come in to play a role on Hogan as well. But no, they opted to leave him in the VFL after two pretty good games. So, yeah, again, if we can't team defend against him, it could get ugly very, very quickly. The final one I had was, and I was tossing a coin between Whitfield and Ash, who's had a super year as well. But I've gone with Whitfield with Mansell. I just think we need to... we need to be able to shut down at least one of your halfbacks with the amount of drive and penetration they have. And I feel like every time I've watched a GWS game, Whitfield is just the main man who gets ball in hand, exiting your defensive 50. He just gets it every single time. But then you've got Lockie Ash, who's equally as good. So that kind of creates a bit of an issue. But how important is Lockie Whitfield? And would he be the one that you would try and shut down, or would you go the other way?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, because I kind of feel like looking at last week's game, Whitfield played more up the ground. He played more on a wing and half forward, even through the midfield at times. And whether that's something he looks to do if he's getting a hard shutdown role from the opposition, and Ash takes more of a control from back there. I mean, we've got Joe Fonte who's playing halfback as well, or a back pocket. He's only a first year player as well, but yeah, it'd probably be Whitfield that you look to shut down, and hope that Lockie Ash is kicking lets him down a bit.
I'm actually kind of hoping that Lockie Ash's kicking does him well, because I've got him in Supercoach draft. I've only got 7 players available this week, so I actually need him to score. So I'm a little bit torn on that one. But it's one of those damn if you do, damn if you don't. Like, both of them are quality players, and I think we'll find that whichever one gets off the chain the most, we'll have to put some time into. And it just shows to the strength of the Giants side with how many different weapons you've got on all different lines. Like, we didn't even mention Toby Green in terms of a key matchup, but you look at Toby Green... Vlosten or Broad are probably going to be the likely matchup.
Vlosten?
I think so, but I mean, Vlosten and Broad are obviously getting on the older side.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
I just don't know whether they'll be able to contain him like they maybe were able to when they were a bit younger and a bit more springy.
Yeah, I've said for the last 5 or 6 years, like, since I've been a Giants supporter, that if I was to pick one player from the Tigers to come and play for the Giants, it would be Nick Vlosten. He's just such a versatile player, so sound in his position, and just it's just great football knowledge. And that really comes across in what he does. And I mean, everyone's mentioned how unlucky he's been never to make the All-Australian team, but everyone knows how valued he is within that team and within those premiership teams.
Yeah, exactly right. Hawk Tim put up, that's a good suggestion, Hawk Tim. Sam Banks could be another one that might roll on to Toby Green, maybe more so because Banks might be able to try and run off him the other way, which I'm not sure whether Toby will keep chasing all the way down the ground, but then if he turns it over and Toby's free in space, that's not a good result either. But I can definitely see that maybe playing out at some point in time too. Again, it's just going to be luck of the draw who ends up on him, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one, especially when he's got his tail up. He kicked 3-goal-3 last week. He could have kicked 5 and had 28 touches in his 250th. So, yeah, it's a tough matchup.
It is. He's a superstar player. And I think... Actually, can you get your thoughts on what were your thoughts when he was initially made captain? I think it's been an inspired choice. I reckon it's actually turned him into a better player, because the easy option would have been to have not done that just based on him being a bit of a loose cannon. But I think it's grounded him a little bit, and I think you've probably got a bit more out of him because of it.
Yeah, I agree. It was a real inspired choice, and... You hear the players talk about him and how much they love him. He obviously doesn't give a lot to the media. He started giving a fair bit this over the last couple of years being captain. He's just a character. And apparently, listening back to a few past players talk about him, and it's sort of hard initially to get into his inner circle, but once you've gained his trust, like, he'd do anything for you. And that's the sort of guy and sort of player he is. Like, sure, he plays on the line. But I mean, every team would want him in their, every team would want 100%. Him in their team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Walks into every team's best 22 unquestionably every day of the week. Now, if you were coaching against the Giants, what part of the game do you think we would be best to try and expose to give ourselves a chance? As small as that chance might be, what is one of the maybe the weaknesses that you think could be identified?
Honestly, it's midfield and clearance. You look at a team, well, we played Carlton last week and Carlton only have one style and that's real stoppage football. And once we got our running game going, Carlton couldn't stop us. But you look at teams that can sort of change their style and it's probably a little bit before Richmond's time because they don't have the experience to be able to do it mid-game and the experience within the players. But it's going to be tough playing up in Sydney but it's just midfield and just putting our backs under pressure and getting the ball to ground because, like I said, I think we are over tall. I'd hate to know how much taller our average height is than you guys this week.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I might have looked that up after. It's probably actually not something I considered when looking at the back line and forward line matchups. So, but I suppose it comes down to the ball ending up on the deck, whether it's via rain or via us being able to half contest. But maybe someone like a Seth Campbell can have another sneaky good game and kick a couple of goals. We probably need Steely Green to bob up and do something. He's been a bit quiet. I don't think he's kicked a goal since Anzac Eve, which is quite a long time, although his pressure's been okay. But we're going to need our small forwards to perform. And it's we've kind of had it a couple of times where they've either all performed well or none of them have performed at all, and then we're pretty much no chance. But that's just the way inexperienced football goes, I guess. Well, with that all being said and done, what's the final tip for this one, including margin? You don't have to go easy on us. If you think you're going to belt us, that's all okay.
I don't think it will be a belting. I think the Giants win by about 15 points. If you guys can keep it as a close game and not let us kick over 100 points, it could be like a 93-78 scoreline.
So we will take that every day of the week. I know honorable losses aren't always a great thing to instill into a club, but we really rate the Giants side, and on our Monday night show, I think we all resided to the fact we'd probably get done by about 40 or 50 points, which would be, I feel that would be an accurate reflection of where both teams are at on the ladder. But yeah, I suppose the stats show that if we're able to defend well, which we typically do okay at, and keep a team to 80 or 90 points, that we give ourselves some type of chance. But yeah, I think the Giants will eventually get hold of us. If it's not at the start of the game, we'll definitely be by the end of the game. So I think somewhere between 25, 35, 40 points, whatever that looks like. But hopefully it's a good game. Hopefully both teams get through unscathed. It should be a good contest. We've got the VFL on beforehand as well as a curtain raiser. So not often do you see that happening anymore, which would be nice to see both games back to back. But thanks, Ragnar, for joining us tonight, mate. Appreciate your thoughts and insights, and good luck for the game this weekend. And hopefully we see a pretty good contest.
Yeah, no worries, Chris, and all the best with the Tigers, and the youngsters are looking pretty good, so I don't think it'll be too long before you guys are far away from being in the finals contention again.
Hopefully we pass a couple of teams like West Coast and Kangaroos and Essendon pretty soon, and we can, be floating. I reckon 2027-28, we might be nudging the eight a little bit, but still need to develop them correctly. If you don't do that, it's all worth nothing, I guess.
Yeah, and for me, I'm hoping the Giants just stay relevant. I think the Giants have had what did I work out? I think we've had 11 picks within the top 23 picks in the last 4 years or something like that. So, plenty of young talent on the Giants as well. So, who knows? It could be another Richmond Giants grand final in the years to come.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, I've got no doubt the Giants will be up there for a long while to come just with the amount of talent they've got coming through the system. It seems like a pretty well-run organisation. And yeah, when you guys up and about, you're bloody hard to stop. And actually quite enjoyable to watch too as a neutral, which, yeah, which is always nice.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you for jumping on again, mate. Appreciate your time and all the best for the weekend. Thank you so much.
All right, mate. Catch you later.